So I just want to give a real quick misnomer or whatever the word is. So for those of you who follow the bulletin, and you'll notice that the scripture is not the same as what we just did. That's a God thing, because I got in this morning and Kelly come in. She said, "Are you changing the scripture or the sermon?" And I said, "No." And then I looked down at the scripture and I thought, this scripture doesn't go with the sermon, so I changed the scripture. Something that we don't in the church talk about very often, because we really don't know how to address it. So, once again, this is my way out. I'm not real sure if this is the way this is to be discussed, but we're going to talk about doubt. And I didn't realize that there are that many areas in Scripture where doubt was probably prevalent, but it's not spoken about. We all know about doubting Thomas, right? I mean, that's just the way he was. He doubted everything. I'm pretty sure he doubted that Spam is really a meat. And I'm sure Spam was around back then, too. But doubt. Doubt is one of those things in our lives that continues to creep up and continues to be a part of our lives. And a lot of times we feel guilty that we doubt. So I did a little bit of exploring and a little bit of studying. Yes, I studied a little bit this time around. About doubt. And so I was very surprised to see that doubt can come in three different categories. So you have intellectual doubt. This is doubt that comes from outside the Christian faith. Things like, is that really the Word of God? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? These are intellectual doubts, and they're always brought about by those outside the Christian faith, because they can't fathom something that they can't explain. The second is spiritual doubt. Spiritual doubt comes from those inside the church. Am I really a Christian? Have I really been saved? Why do I feel guilty? Why aren't my prayers answered? These are spiritual doubts. These are the things that Christians deal with, in all honesty, on at least a daily basis. We all doubt. Then there's circumstantial doubt. This is the largest by all means. Circumstantial doubt is where it's, why can't I find a husband or a wife? Where was God when Uncle Joe passed away? Why does God not answer my prayers? Why do bad things happen to people all the time? It's a whole realm of whys. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? The thing about circumstantial doubt is that if it's not dealt with, it becomes spiritual doubt. Then we want to know why God doesn't deal with it. And then spiritual doubt becomes intellectual doubt, because then we start doubting the very foundation of God. And when intellectual doubt happens, that's when people leave the church. So, how do we deal with doubt in our lives? A lot of times when we doubt, we feel guilty that we have sinned against God. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is not a sin. But we have to figure out how we're going to deal with that doubt when it pops up. So I have five ways to deal with doubt in our lives. Number one, admit your doubt and ask for help. Admit your doubt and ask for help. So John the Baptist in our scripture text doubted. And what he did was he asked for help. He asked Jesus, "Are you the one that we have been told would be coming? Or should we expect another?" Okay, think about it, y'all. Who was there when Jesus was baptized? John the Baptist. Okay, y'all catching on. Who was it that said, "I witnessed, I saw the Holy Spirit come upon him like a dove"? John the Baptist. Y'all were a little less sure about that one. So only half of y'all are 100% right now. But yet, he saw these things firsthand, but yet he had to ask Jesus, "Are you really him? Are you really him?" Oh, one more. Here's a chance to at least get a good grade. Who jumped in his mama's womb when Mary announced that she was pregnant with Jesus?
John.
Okay, y'all, I know it's summertime, but y'all can get a little more, bit more enthusiastic here. John the Baptist. So, even though John knew all these things, he still doubted. So he went to the source and asked, "Are you really the one?" There's nothing wrong with admitting that you have doubt in your life and going to someone and asking, "Can you walk with me while I go through this? Can you help me?" So admit your doubt and ask for help. The second thing is, don't be afraid to borrow some faith. Don't be afraid to borrow some faith. So there was this preacher. And as I'm reading this illustration, something popped into my mind that I witnessed a year ago here in this church. So this preacher's telling the story that he's someplace and this woman walks up to him and she shakes his hand and she says, "I want to thank you for your help." And he said, in all honesty, I had no clue who this woman was or had no clue what she was talking about. And she said, "You don't remember, do you?" He said, "Well, no, ma'am, I don't." She said, "Years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life. I was going through a divorce. And I came to you and talked to you about how I was losing my faith." She said, "And your comment to me was, 'That's okay, I got plenty enough for both of us.'" He said, "I don't remember saying that. I don't remember the situation." He said, "But I guess I had enough in me because I didn't miss any when she borrowed it." A year ago, when I first came into this church, there was an incident that was going on in this church. A devastation. And I watched as another devastation happened. And I sat and watched Kenny share his faith with somebody really needed it at that time. I don't typically call people out, but that to me was what it was all about, to share your faith with somebody that needs it at that time. So when you are doubting yourself, or you're doubting your faith, or you are just doubting, period, it's okay. You can borrow some faith from someone else. Because we all have faith, right? Y'all got faith? Okay. So it doesn't hurt to borrow some, because God is going to refill that faith in us to where we don't even know we missed it, just like this pastor said. The third thing is to act on your faith and not your doubts. Act on your faith and not your doubt. You know, earlier in the sermon, this message, I said that there was more opportunities for doubt than we even imagine. So I want you to think about it. Think about Noah. This voice from heaven comes down and says, "Hey, stand. Go build a boat big enough to carry a bunch of animals." Put yourself in Noah's place. They didn't know what a flood was. I'm pretty sure Noah had a little bit of doubt there. Just a little. Think about Abraham. God speaks to Abraham and tells him he needs to leave Ur. And that if he'll follow him, he will make him the father of many nations. This is the man who can't even get one kid. Think about Abraham again. God blesses him with a son. And then says, "Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him." Think there might have been a little doubt there. I don't know, it may be just me, but I think there might have been some doubt. Think about Moses. Imagine this. You've got thousands of whining, sissified, griping church people following you through the desert. And you come upon this big old ocean, and God says, "Just keep walking." "God, I don't think this is going to work here unless you're just trying to relieve me of all that whining and complaining." I think Moses might have had a little bit of doubt there. I mean, think about it. Would you walk through the Red Sea with the water standing above you? I have faith. But that right there proves it's not as big as a mustard seed could. I ain't worried about all them church people, but I'm not going to get caught in the middle of that. Look at David, the runt. Goes out there and hears this big old massive dude standing over there, and God says, "Do what you need to do, I'll take care of the rest of it." "Are you sure, God, you want me to take on Goliath?" Might have been a little doubt there. You see, your doubt and my doubt is no different than any doubt anybody else in God's Word or in humanity has not experienced in their lives. So you see, doubt is part of the process. It's how we deal with it that makes the difference. The fourth thing is to doubt your doubts, not your faith. There have been times in our lives when we have come down off that mountaintop, and what happens when you come down off the mountaintop? You hit the valley. And you hit that valley of darkness. And it seems like there's no way out. Unfortunately, some of us bring the RV and camp there. Because we can't imagine not being there, and we sure can't imagine how we're going to get out of it. But when we get in a place where we feel doubt and where we feel uncomfortable, we can't just stay there. We've got to keep walking. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep going forward. You've got to start listening and paying attention to God, calling your name out to bring you to Him so you'll get out of that valley of darkness. Otherwise, you're going to be there forever. But what we have to do is we have to doubt our doubts, not our faith. The fifth and the final thing is my favorite. When we are in doubt, keep going back to what we know to be true. Keep going back to what we know is true. Go back to the basics. Go back to what brought us into a relationship with God. Because those concrete things in our lives are what's going to keep our faith strong and defeat the doubt that's in our lives. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I turned 59. I almost said 57. I turned 59 a couple of weeks ago. And I know this is going to be hard for you to understand and accept and believe. But I have come to the realization that I'm not as smart, intelligent, and faithful as I thought I was 30 years ago. I'll give you a minute to get over that shock. 30 years ago, I knew it all. 30 years ago, I was strong in my faith. 30 years ago, I was theologically sound. 30 years ago, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt who I was going to be and where I was going to be. Then when God got through laughing and told me where I was going to be, I have grown from that point. And now there are those doubts and those questions in my life. There are those things that when I'm told or somebody brings it up or we have a biblical pop quiz, where'd he go? In the sanctuary. Are in the office. I'm not so sure anymore. I have started doubting many things in my life. Now, I don't know how you are, meaning I don't know if you're willing to admit it as well as I am. But we all get to that point. And what happens is that we need to go back to those things that we know are true. So I've compiled this little, small list of things that I know to be true and concrete in my life. God is good. I knew y'all were going to do that. Jesus is Lord. The Bible is true. Those are the three top ones. I am certain and I am persuaded and I know to be true that life is short. Every day is a gift. People matter more than things. Fame is fleeting. This world is not my home. And even hard times are meant for my benefit. I know that at the core of my faith is an unshakable belief in a sovereignty of God. I know that He is God, I'm not. And I know He is sovereign over all the details of my life, and I can trust Him completely, even when those details seem to be spinning out of control. When you doubt, you go back to the things that you know that are true. God is good. Christ is His Son. The Bible is true. And God can solve any problem if we take it to Him and give it. Doubt. It can mess with our minds. It can mess with our hearts. But as long as we know how to deal with doubt when it comes up, doubt won't stick around very long. When we act on our faith and not on our doubts, an ark is built. A great nation is created. Mankind can walk through a split sea, and we can defeat the giants in our lives. When we act upon our faith and not our doubt. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we praise You today. Because we know that if we will just hand it over to You, if we will be honest with ourselves and with You, that, you know, God, I'm not real sure about this. Father, if we'll admit our doubt to You, You will open up in us many resources in order to deal with that doubt through our faith. Father, we praise You because You love us. We praise You because You sent Your Son. And we praise You because You've given us eternal life. Father, as we go from this place today, as we go out into this unsettled world, and we have those intellectual doubts and those spiritual doubts and those circumstantial doubts that pop into our minds, remind us of our faith. That if we follow You and we keep true to those things that we know to be concrete and solid in our lives, that doubt will not take control of us. We pray this all in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Our closing song today is hymn number 419. I am Thine, O Lord. This is our hymn of invitation. If there's anyone who would like to become a member of this church, by transferring your letter. Or if you would like to have a relationship with Christ in your life, you're invited to come as we stand and sing.